Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We come to Romans 10. The Apostle Paul is writing about the simplicity of salvation, right? And simple for you and I to receive it or possibly receive it, but complex for God to provide it. I mean, when you think about everything that happened for God to do what he did in sending Jesus, it's just like amazing. It's like, I think when you get to heaven, you will be amazed when you fully realize all that God did to provide your salvation. To adopt you as a child, as the scripture says, as the Bible says, God went to great lengths to save you, to save us. I mean, you know, and God didn't say, listen, if you would climb Mount Everest, the highest mountain on the face of the earth, 29,032 feet, get to the top of it, take a selfie, I'll let you in. He didn't say that. I mean, I just leaned over to Caleb and asked him, how tall is Mount Massive? Mount Massive is the second highest mountain in Colorado. It's 14,425 feet. He's given me sign language. I tapped out at 14,500 feet. I was like that close to reaching the top, and I was like, I can't do it. And he went on without me. He didn't offer to give me a piggyback ride. He just left me. But God doesn't say, hey, if you can get to the top of Mount Everest, I'll let you in. He doesn't say, if you can get to the deepest part of the ocean, 35,876 feet, and get there on your own effort, then I'll let you in. He doesn't say, if you can cross the biggest desert in the world, the Sahara Desert, with a Dixie cup, just with a Dixie cup of water, and get across, I'll let you in. Because so often we think, if I'm this, then I'll get to heaven. If I do this in my effort, like I summited this mountain on my strength, because I look around the room, and not to be offensive to anyone in this room, but I don't think many of us, if any of us, are going to survive trying to climb up Mount Everest. No offense, I'm not doubting your ability, but I'm thinking that, you know, I got this feeling. What does the Bible say, though? The Bible made, Jesus made salvation really, really, really simple. The Bible says this, man, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, him being Jesus, then you'll be saved. And you're like, are you serious? That's it? That's all it takes for someone to be saved? You don't have to do all this list to get saved. You don't have to climb Everest and take the selfie. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if it's that easy to get saved, to be right in a relationship with God, then how come more people aren't saved? Fair question, right? And the answer is choice. It's this topic this morning, Romans 10, it's the greatest choice. It's the title of the message. It's the greatest choice. Our life is filled with all kinds of choices, isn't it? You got dressed this morning and you stood in front of your closet, and many of you were overwhelmed. Dear Lord, I don't have anything to wear to church today. And you finally made a choice, and hopefully you're like, I look pretty good, or whatever. But I mean, it's whole. Who am I going to date? Who am I going to marry? What am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat later today? What team should I cheer for? Don't cheer for the Broncos. They don't have a team anymore. They're giving everybody away. But anyway, where do I live? Choice. The greatest choice of all is the choice regarding what will I do with Jesus. Our choices are important. When we make our choices, it makes us. doesn't it? When we make choices, it determines our destiny. Ultimately, it's been said, we are the sum total of our choices. What do you do with your spiritual condition will not only determine your tomorrow, but it also determines your destiny. It determines your eternity. Choices are so important. Moses, in the Bible, put it this way, choose life, not death. The front end of Romans 10 is explaining for you and I the beauty of the simplicity of salvation. The back half is about the choice of salvation that you have to choose. The choice to follow Jesus doesn't make a perfect life. But it does make for a rich life. Today, if you haven't decided, you have a choice. Romans 10:1 or 10:11. The Message paraphrase puts it this way. Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. Man, there has not been a day in my life since I came to faith in 1988 where I've looked back over my life and said, man, this was the stupidest choice I've ever made. So, if it's so wonderful, Steve, why aren't more people saved? Why aren't more people choosing to follow the ways of Jesus? You see the answer of that to that question in verses 14 through 21, and the answer is this: it's because there's a choice. There's two choices that we see in this verse. The first one is this: we have to choose to obey the gospel. It isn't enough to say, well, you know, I agree with some of the things in the book, or it's not, I'm not against what the Bible has to say, or I'm not against church or anything like that, or, you know, hey, what's right for you, that's okay, but, you know, it's for you. You have to choose to obey the gospel. In Romans 8:13 is true, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved, then what does it take for someone to call on the name of the Lord? Paul answers that with a couple rhetorical questions for us. In verse 14, it says this: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Listen, if you don't know about him, you can't call on him. Right? I mean, this isn't through the lens of, well, I've had this experience happen in my life, and I've read this historical account, and if, you know, whatever excuses or barriers that we put up on, well, that I'm not going to follow after God because of the X, Y, and Z, then that's a choice. How are they to hear without someone preaching? If you have never heard the gospel, it's difficult to believe the gospel, correct? Right? And you hear it, the Bible says, then you believe it, and then you call. The third question that he asks is, how are they to hear without someone preaching? So it's not just what Ephesians talks about in Ephesians 4, that it's not just the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelism doing this. It's if you're a follower of Jesus, you're doing this, right? It's like just looking at your neighbor and say, hey, you're a preacher, preacher, right? And because it's all of us communicating, it's all of us living out the gospel. Every believer is on this team. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 20, verse 21. It says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me. Guess what I'm doing? I'm sending you. You see it again in the climactic last words of Jesus in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We go with these instructions. Go, baptize, teach. I am with you to the end of the age. I mean, listen, there are people that you have access to, that you have relationship with, that others don't. And God has gifted you with that relationship. You, in the words of Paul, are a living epistle known and read by all men. And as you go with this confidence. And as you go, you're going with the good news of the gospel and the ability to set people free. Romans 10:5 or 10:15 says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." Can we just call a timeout real quick? I have never seen beautiful feet. Have you? I mean, I think the worst job in the world would be one of those people that do pedis. I mean, it's just like, I don't like feet. You know, right now, Lincoln, I can handle his feet being on me. But there's going to come a time I'm going to be saying, boy, get your feet off of me. Right? And I've never seen beautiful feet. What is Paul doing here when he mentions how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news? Well, Paul is quoting from Isaiah 52 in the Old Testament. Isaiah is talking about a day when Israel is coming out of the bondage that they've been in, and they're going to be free from that bondage. They're people heralding that Israel is set free and God is reigning over them. And this is a celebration. There's freedom. There's freedom from captivity. And the idea is that when people hear this news, it's like everything about the messenger and the message is good. The messenger is saying, "You are going to be listen. You are going to be released from captivity." In the context of Romans 8 or Romans 10, Paul's talking about salvation. And you think about what salvation brings into your life: anger, gone. The weight of sin, gone. Hopelessness, gone. Peace, present. Christ, present. The gospel, listen, the gospel sets people free. Yeah. So thankful for the ministry of Teen Challenge. And what they're doing and what they're bringing to our community in the not just the hope but the presence and the willingness to journey with people through the season of life. It's a message of be set free from the bondage. And you can know a time and a season of the Lord's salvation and favor. This is what the gospel brings to people. I mean, the gospel is present. Look what happens, verse 17, all right? So faith, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What is that telling us? It tells us that faith is necessary. You are saved by grace, not because you climbed the highest mountain or you went to the depths of the ocean on your own efforts, not because you crossed the biggest desert or did a list of good works and you're a nice person and you whistle all the time while you work. You are saved by grace through faith. This is not of ourselves, so that no one can boast. It's a gift from God. But faith comes when we're talking, when we're speaking the word of Christ, when we're listening to the word of Christ. It isn't your ability to be smooth in your delivery or persuasive in the words or having all the answers to somebody who's asking you, but why this or how come this and all the scenarios that we can throw out in life. It's through the word of Christ. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about what Jesus has done for you, the power of the name of the Lord. Proverbs tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're saved. I mean, I think about the word of the Lord and just in my life, in our life this last week, man, there was moments in this last week where it's just like, man, I just got to unplug and get away for a few, just even if it's for a few minutes and just sit down in the presence of the Lord. My mom, yesterday morning, as we were getting ready to go to the chapel, at the care home where she lived for the service, I just went to the closet, my closet in our room, and I was just like, man, I'm just like, just thinking about my mom, just kind of weepy, and I just sat down in my closet, and my mom's favorite verse was Psalms 23, And so I just began to quote Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And just walking through it, just saying it to myself over and over, the Lord's my shepherd, And it was just like, man, what perspective. What perspective, what hope, what comfort that was bringing. Why? Because the word is powerful. Romans 10:17. It's a powerful statement, one of the most powerful statements in Scripture, or the book of Romans anyway. So faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. If Romans 10:17 happens, then again, Steve, why aren't more people saved? Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what he has heard from us. To be saved, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That word Lord is literally right. I mean, he's Lord. So if someone is Lord over you, then you're gonna do what he says. Verse 16, obey the gospel. Every person has to make a choice. It's a belief that commits your life to you. You see, you have this belief, you commit your life to it. In context, Paul is speaking to the nation of Israel, but the reality is that it applies to all of humanity. And I love this because as Paul is talking about this, you know what he's doing? Paul quotes Psalms 19 in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And when you look at Psalms 19 says this in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims the handiwork. And so it's this idea of, man, when I go out at night and I look up into the heavenlies, it's like, that is absolutely amazing. That is like, I can remember a couple of years ago, we went mountain climbing. So we're up like at 10,000 or 12,000 feet waiting to ascend a 14er out in Colorado. And we started our climb at 4 in the morning. And I'm looking up. And I get out my phone, and I start taking pictures of the sky, just with my iPhone. And then looking at those pictures, going, that is amazing. It's declaring something. There's design to that. There's purpose to that. I mean, you think about the beauty, and if there's design, there's a designer. I mean, you get in a car today, and that car just didn't randomly appear. It didn't evolve over, a process of time. Auto machines, is that what you call them in Australia, auto machines? Sorry. I just got to pick on her every now and then. She's going back in a few days, so I got to pick her. You know, that's what little brothers do, right? But I mean, something created that. And Paul and the psalmist is saying, look, nature itself showed them, and them being Israel, as you look at Psalms 19, that there's a God. Well, someone may say, maybe Israel didn't understand, and Paul responds in verse 19, but I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation with a foolish nation. I will make you angry. The foolish nation would be the Gentiles. It was those Gentiles or anyone outside of the Jewish lineage. And what Paul is doing, just, it wouldn't be a big deal to you and I, but he's quoting from Deuteronomy 32, who the author of 32, Deuteronomy is Moses, and he's pulling from Isaiah 65, Isaiah is written by the prophet Isaiah, and so it's not a big deal to us, but the Jewish people who Paul is writing to would understand what Paul is doing. He's pulling from the law, the Old Testament, and the prophets, part of the Old Testament. So all he's doing is saying, listen, all that you're reading back in the Old Testament, it's pointing and it's speaking of Jesus. Just as the heavens declare the glory of God, it's speaking of a Savior, so is the Old Testament speaking of a Savior, speaking of a Creator, it's speaking of Jesus. And it told them about Jesus. Verse 20, then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. In other words, God is revealing himself to people all the time. Yeah. All the time. God is saying, I'm showing you myself. Are you aware of that? Whether that person doesn't believe in God or whether they believe in God. Again, case in point, Saturday night, we're at the manor, and mom is passing. She's been unresponsive all day. Her eyes have not opened. She has not interacted. She is what the hospice nurse was saying, she is in the active stage of death. And so we're there in the room, and family has come and gone, but we're on. I'm there, Robin's there, Kim's there, Kay is there via FaceTime. She's actually in Australia, and because that's where she lives, in case you weren't listening earlier. And then Caleb and Marla are there, and Marla's having has her guitar, doing some songs, and we have a list of our mom's favorite songs, and her favorite hymn was How Great Thou Art. Okay? I'm not going to cry. But all day, unresponsive. Hear her breathing, no eye contact, no conversation, nothing. Thankfully, she had a good day Friday when Kim was over there. Had a great, when I say good day for mom. But anyway, so we're there in this moment, and Marla starts playing How Great Thou Art. We start singing, or excuse me, Robin and Marla start singing. The others of us in the room are singing, saying, I wish I could sing. So we're all singing, right? And in that moment, mom's eyes open. And in that moment, God's saying, hey, or I'm saying from today's message, God's saying, would you just look? I'm trying to get your attention. And in that moment, mom's eyes open. She's not talked all day. She can't hardly talk, but in the rhythm of the music and into the lyrics of the music, she starts like gasp. It's a groan. And her groan is in cadence with How Great Thou Art. Man, it was a holy, holy moment. I'm sitting in that moment going, man, God, I don't want to see my mom go, but yet I want to see her free. But you're here, and so I know it's going to be okay. And man, it was beautiful. And it was a special moment. When I was here earlier praying this morning, there was some worship music that was playing, and How Great Thou Art came on. And I was like, I'll never, and then right when it came on, I was like, I could hear my mom breathing. I could hear her, what she sounded like in the back of my mind. I'll never hear that song again, the same. So there's a second reason, and this will be quick, if the worship team would come. So they have a choice. And secondly, though, they choose not to open their hearts to a gracious God. What Paul is saying, verse 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. So, here's the love of God. His nature is so far above human nature. Aren't you glad? Because our tendency, at least, okay, my tendency is, in the past, a long time ago, my tendency is if people push me away, people say, hey, I don't want to be friend, or I don't have time for you, or you're not good enough for me, or whatever, or they ignore me, or whatever. My tendency is, yeah, I'm going to push you away. Okay, I'm going to build a wall because towards you because I'm not good enough for you, or I don't feel like, you know, whatever that, have you ever, don't all look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there. You've felt that. And our tendency is like, okay, I can do that too. God doesn't do that. What does God do? All day long, I have open arms for you. That's where Journey got that song, Open Arms. I'm just kidding. I just put a song in your, that song's going to be in some of your mind all day long now. Others of you are like, who's Journey? What does God do? All day long, I have open arms for you. Doesn't matter how disobedient you've been. It doesn't matter how consumed with yourself you've been, how lost you've been, how disillusioned you've been, how angry you've been, how it doesn't all make sense to me you've been. And because it doesn't make sense, then I can't get a hold of it. Listen, his arms are open. And he is saying, welcome home. My house is your house if you choose. He is pursuing you. He's reaching out to you. Will you take his hand? Maybe you're here today and that's all about receiving salvation for the first time for you. Free yourself from, I got to climb Mount Everest in order to be good enough. I'll take a selfie while I'm there to prove it. You'll never get there. Just do what the Bible says. Okay. I'm going to believe in my heart, and I'm going to confess with my mouth. Maybe you're here today and you need to recommit yourself to Christ. It's a choice. Both of those are a choice. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm good. Well, then my exhortation to you would be this. If you're good, you ought to be hungry for more. If you're good, then as I told first service, when I, you know, kind of referencing the depths of the ocean idea again, if what you know about God and what you've experienced with God, it may be good, and it is good, but it ain't. It's not all there is. If I could, you just kind of try to paint a mental picture. If what you know and what you've encountered about God, it would be like a communion cup, and yet there's a vast ocean before you that is 30,000 plus feet at its deeper place, and you're going, I know everything there is about God. And God's going, come on. Come to me, because there's so much more. Father God, as we ponder your word, I know that we're all at different places in our relationship with you. We all have different backgrounds, which we appreciate. We honor that. But God, it's our prayer. It's my prayer. It's the prayer of you, Jesus, and all those who've gone before us. Oh, that people would know this great salvation. And so, Lord, I pray for the one today that needs to make that choice. that they'd never made before, that they would choose to say, Lord, I don't know what it all means, but something's happening within me, and I want to believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with my mouth that he is Lord. Lord, for anyone here in this holy moment and they're ready to make that decision, I pray just simply that they would, in their own words, right where they're seated right now, they would say, Lord, I realize my need for you. I realize, God, that in my own efforts will never measure up. I can't compare myself to my neighbor. I can only compare myself to you, and you're perfect and you're holy. And so, therefore, I got a long way to go. But, Lord, I thank you that you made a way through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just want to confess you as Lord, and I want to believe in my heart that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. So I just do that right now in this holy moment. God, for the one who maybe needs to make a recommitment, God, that their faith would come alive today, that they would just come, whatever caused them to be in the position that they're in right now in their walk with you is irrelevant. Today they're saying, Lord, I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning. God, I want to follow hard after you. May that happen. And God, for those in the room that would say, man, I'm good. I have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. May we all say, oh, but there's so, so much more. And I want to know the joy of my salvation. And I want to just be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Wherever you find yourself in that prayer this morning as we step to this last song, I would just invite you to respond to the Lord and what he's speaking to you, and know that he invites you, because he wants his house to be your house. Amen. Church, would you stand with me?
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.